Hello and welcome to From Fear to Fire, secrets to overcome fear, embrace your gifts, and achieve success. This is the place where real people share real challenges and where you can find a common bond and uncommon wisdom in their journeys to help you move from fear to fire. I am Heather Hansen O'Neill. I am your host. And today's quote of the week is by Carly Baum. Difficulty calls us to rise up, and in that rising, we learn what we are capable of. Today, we have Adam Lucero. In 2016, Adam experienced a terrible trauma. He was stabbed in the throat, arm, and chest while at the movie theater. He woke up 7 days later from an induced coma. He had lost all sense of who he was. And he couldn't stand up. He had nerve damage in his tongue that prevented him from being able to talk. He lost his energy. His confidence disappeared. And he was plagued with negative thoughts and self-doubt. And that's when he started to research the secrets of evolution, biology, and epigenetics. Let's bring him on to hear his story and tips that he might be able to have to help you today. Adam, welcome. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Excited to be here.
I'm excited to have you, and I love your energy. So let's go back. I mean, that's a lot for me to throw at people. So how about you give us a little more background? What do you think?
Yeah, let's do it. I know everyone that's listening to this or watching this is probably like, what did she just say? All right, so we'll just get straight into it.
Yeah.
So a little bit of context. Basically, at this point in my life, I had just graduated college. I accepted a sales job in Northern California. So 2 weeks before the job started, I'm looking for housing like super last minute. Mm-hmm. I'm staying at my aunt's house for 8 hours. And she says, Adam, I have clients coming over. Like, you got to get out of here for 8 hours. I was like, okay. So I knew one person in the area, hung out with him for 4 hours. Then he's like, I have to go. So I was like, all right, I have 4 hours to kill an area. I don't really know anyone. Like, I'll go watch a movie by myself. So it's like a Wednesday, 2 p.m. I sit in like the fourth row from the back because there's not many people. I get to choose the ideal seat. Movie starts, you know, just sitting there looking at a movie like most people would. Mm-hmm. Eyes glued to the screen. Then all of a sudden, I feel a hard hit to my throat. And my initial reaction was like, this guy hit me hard. And so I stand up. I was like, dude, what the hell? And then I felt another punch to my arm and chest. So then I was like, all right, I'm over this. And I turn around and push him. And as I push him, I feel a cut on my wrist and ear. And instantly, that's when I realized I had been stabbed. Those weren't punches. So I started yelling like, I've been stabbed. I've been stabbed. The lights turn on. I see the guy running away. And then I take off my shirt, wrap it around my neck, and I'm just holding the blood in. And then two older women come running up. They're like, what should we do? What should we do? And I was like, just put pressure on my neck. So they're holding it down. Then I hear someone say, should we call 911?
Oh and my gosh, they hadn't even called 911 yet.
I lost it. As I'm bleeding out, like I just have anger. I'm like, yeah, you should call 911. If you don't call them in this situation, when would you? Like I literally was just enraged. Like that was how I was feeling in the moment. And then I say like 5-10 minutes passes, paramedics come. They start asking me all these questions, you know, like what's your name? Who's president? What year is it? And I get it. They're making sure I'm conscious, staying with them, whatever. But again, I'm just like, can you guys save my life? We can get to know each other after you save my life. How about that?
That's a good idea.
Yeah. And so they're like, all right, let's get him up on the stretcher. And so they toss me up on the stretcher and I feel all my wounds, worse than initial stabbing, because I don't have the adrenaline in me anymore. And then they had one person in the front right of the stretcher, one front left, one back right, one back left. And so they start going over like the stairs or the chairs or whatever to get me down. And literally the person in the front right would go down a step and I feel all my wounds, worse than getting stabbed. Then the front left, all my wounds, back right, back left. So for every row of chairs there were or stairs, I felt like I got stabbed in all those places 4 times. And I remember, like, till this day, I remember just staring at the ceiling and trying not to scream my guts out. Like, I remember holding myself so tight, just like trying with everything I have to just refrain from screaming. And they get me down to the ambulance. And I remember, like, I started to relax in this moment because I was like, all right, the paramedics got me. They know what they're doing. Like, I don't need to worry anymore. And as soon as I get that thought, I feel a cold rush through my entire body. And it dawned on me. I was like, I lost a lot of blood. Like, I could die here. And so I see them come over with this oxygen mask. And I remember thinking, don't fall asleep. You're not supposed to fall asleep in this situation. They put it over my face. I knocked out 5 seconds, like pretty hardcore drugs or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And I wake up 7 days later from an induced coma, and I'm living off tubes. Literally, unplugged those tubes, unplugged my life. I was getting all my nutrients through tubes that were plugged up into my nose. And I could just feel my body being weak and decayed. And to give you some context, like I used to be like 170, 7 or 8% body fat. And now I was 130. So I'm 6 foot, 130, lost all my muscle, all my fat, just sticks and bone, barely getting the nutrition I need. And then it just got worse and worse. Like even after I wasn't living off tubes, I couldn't speak because I had nerve damage in my tongue. My legs forgot how to work after 7 days of not moving. I couldn't even stand up anymore. And so I was just broken. I literally, kid you not, like after a few weeks, I was able to eat normal food again, which is super nice. But I would literally have to nap because eating exerted that much energy. I couldn't think clearly. Someone could have said, Adam, I'll give you $5,000 if you answer 11 times 11. I would have been like, well, I don't have $5,000. Let me tell you that much, because I can't answer that. And so it's just like, I was really left in a state where I didn't have confidence in myself. I started questioning if I still can reach all my goals in life. Like, I've always been ambitious and I wanted to run a business. Now I was left at this point. It's like, can I still run a business? Or is my potential destined to rot away with my ambitions? And I guess the breaking point for me was when I discovered that my legs didn't work anymore. Like, I was just angry. And I remember thinking, I was like, all right, in 1 year, I'm going to be faster. I'm going to be stronger. And I'm just going to be happier than I was before. And so I started learning the secrets of evolution, biology, psychology, epigenetics, and learned how to boost our energy levels, how to boost our mental alertness again, how to start feeling more motivated so that I can do my physical therapy exercises, my speech therapy exercises, go to normal therapy, EMT, whatever it is, and just day by day, week by week, month by month, doing everything that I needed to do. And within 1 year, I ran a 459 mile. I was putting up close to as much weight in the gym as I was before, and I was in a pretty great place. And then fast forward a couple more years, and now I run a business helping ambitious people and entrepreneurs optimize their performance and productivity so they can accomplish more in life. And so, yeah, in a nutshell, that's my story.
Oh my gosh, quite a story. I love a good story. I'm sorry you had to go through everything that you went through to give us that good story, but I love the outcome, the inspiration of it. Now, let's think about how people, entrepreneurs or leaders, can maybe take some of what you learned in the things that you studied, the secrets that you learned, how can they take some of that and use it in their lives? Maybe if they're looking to enhance their performance.
Yeah. So there's a few different areas of performance. And so the first thing is when I work with a lot of 6-7 figure entrepreneurs, people that are making a few hundred K from their salaries and careers. And the number one thing that I see over the common overlapping factor, I should say, is they struggle to have that consistent motivation, do the things they know they need to do. More of like a mindset issue is what I like to say. And so there's a few things we can do to address this. The first is what really helped me overcome my entire situation was accepting what happened and taking full responsibility. Because when I first woke up, I was like cursing the road. Of course this happened to me. My life's done for. I'm a victim, blah, blah, blah. And the thing was like, yeah, that made me, it gave me some sort of relief in some sense. Otherwise, I wouldn't have been doing it. But it was disempowering me because then I was a victim and it's not helping me overcome the issue at hand or find a solution. It's just keeping me stuck in this vicious loop or I wasn't progressing my life. I was feeling terrible about myself. So then when my legs didn't work anymore, I was filled with anger. I just told myself like, you know what? This happened to me. I can't change it. All I can change is how I'm going to move forward. And so in that moment, I was like, this happened to me and I'm going to do whatever it takes to get my life back on track. And so going from victim to taking 100% responsibility was this mindset shift where now I didn't have this negative self-talk. Oh, can I still hit my goals? It was like, that happened. Doesn't matter. I'm so focused on where I want to go and doing what it takes to get there, that all that negativity, nonsense that was weighing me down, it's gone. And so once I had this full acceptance, took full responsibility and took ownership, I stepped into my power, started studying, started doing the things I know I needed to do. And that's what ultimately led to this change. And so that's one of the main things I would say. And, you know, most people are hearing me say this, go, oh, I've heard about this. Don't be a victim. Take 100% ownership. Cool. Well, do you actually embody that? Because there's consciously knowing information, which is no power because you understand it, but you don't know it on a deeper level and actually apply it. And then there's living by it. Do you live with 100% responsibility? So think about it. How many times in the past month have you blamed someone or an external factor for a success that you did not achieve? Oh, I couldn't hit the gym because it was closed. Okay, well, if you took full responsibility, you could have done an at-home workout. You know, like, were you productive in your career? If not, it was your fault. It wasn't an external factor. And so what I try saying is there's knowing, there's understanding, and then there's knowing on a deeper level and truly embodying these lessons. And that's where the power comes from.
I love that word embodying, because I believe that marries, I talk a lot about the how the mind and the body work together. And you're talking about that as well. You really have to feel it at a level and then follow through on it. I think that's super important. So let's say that we've got these, you mentioned these six-figure entrepreneurs. Let's say some of them would like to become seven-figure entrepreneurs. So any suggestions for that jump that has to take place? They've decided they're going to embody, they're going to take responsibility. What else has to happen?
So the thing is, 95% of our actions happen subconsciously through our habits. That happen with our subconscious mind. And so issues that I tend to see is, like, most people try making these changes. I'm going to be more productive in my business. I'm going to work out consistently. I'm going to eat healthy. And we all know what happens. It's like every New Year's. You make progress for a few days. You feel great about yourself. And then you tell yourself, oh, I've been doing a fantastic job. I deserve one day off, only for that one day to turn into another and another. And so this happens because they're using their conscious mind. They're consciously declaring they're going to change X, Y, and Z. But their subconscious mind doesn't want them to change. And the reason this happens is a survival mechanism. Your subconscious mind sees every habit as a safety measure. And so when we look back as we're hunters and gatherers, and if we ventured on a path to go get water and we came back safe, well, our subconscious mind would want us to take that path again because it's less risky than going to an unknown path. And so literally habits are hardwired to stay the same. Like, that's how our subconscious mind gets us to take action. It wants us to stay the same. So what happens is, you get into this battle where your conscious and subconscious battle. You make progress for a few days, ultimately subconscious wins. You fall back into your old patterns and ruts. So to combat this, you have to link your two minds together. Now, the beauty in this is once you do that, you start feeling motivated to do the things you know you need to do. And most importantly, you successfully change your actions, your behaviors, and your habits. And so this is ultimately what we help do to get our entrepreneurs' clients to go from six to seven figures. And a good tip for this is seriously just form the habit of keeping your promises to yourself. And so the way I think about it is, like, look, what would your body look like right now if you kept your word to work out and eat healthy from 2 years ago? How much further along would you be in your career or your business if you kept your word to be productive and do everything you told yourself you'd do in the past 90 days? And so literally forming this one habit is what gets entrepreneurs to go from six to seven figures. Now, you might be thinking, well, Adam, this is a catch 22. How can I build the habit of keeping my promises if I don't keep my promises, right? And so what we always say is you want to give yourself smaller changes to strive for. You see, most people, they get hyped in the moment. They're like, I'm sick and tired of how my life's going. I'm going to work out every day for a year. I'm going to eat healthy. I'm going to cook all these meals, no fast food, no alcohol for 2 years or whatever. And it's like, I get it. I love the ambition, but the flaw is because eventually that motivation is going to fade. You're going to feel tired. You're going to feel lazy or unmotivated. And then at that moment, we all know what happens. You end up caving. And so then at this point, you're breaking the habit of keeping your promises and you're strengthening the habit of not keeping your promises. It's a double-edged sword, right? And so to combat this, we say start with smaller changes. And so instead of declaring you're going to read for 30 minutes a day, declare you're going to read for 1 minute a day. And this is powerful for two reasons. One is, even if you're feeling tired, lazy, or unmotivated, reading for 1 minute a day is easy. There's less internal battle, there's less resistance, less friction. And then the second part to this is, over the course of 30 days, 60 days, you're going to eventually be in the habit of keeping your promises to yourself. And now when you tell yourself you actually are going to work out or not drink for 2 months, you do it and you feel motivated to do it. And so we start with these smaller changes to first form the habit of keeping your promises to yourself. And then eventually it's second nature and effortless. I know people might be hearing me say this and not believing me. Oh, it wouldn't be that easy and effortless. So think about it this way. You likely brush your teeth every single night, regardless of how tired, lazy, or unmotivated you are, right? Well, why is it easy and effortless for you to do that, but so hard to do these new actions and behaviors you declare to yourself that you're going to do? It's because you're in the habit of brushing your teeth to the point where it's effortless. There's no internal battles. And the same thing will happen to you keeping your word to yourself. And so ultimately, that's what I would say is like the number one thing most six-figure entrepreneurs or people making 100, 200, 300K a year in a career could do to elevate their performance.
I think that is a great suggestion, and I know personally how effective that can be. Now, you also have three easy to implement tips that can help people perform at a higher level. Would you be able to share those with our audience?
Yeah. So the first step is, again, mind linking is what we call it there. Helps you with consistent motivation, discipline, taking action consistently. Second step is what we call superhuman performance. And so this is more about, the first step is about getting you to take more action. The second step is about, okay, you work 8 hours in your day. How much can you produce? How much quality work can you produce during those 8 hours? Because look, I want you to think back to that last day where you woke up, you had brain fog, you were unmotivated, you're feeling lazy, versus those days you wake up and you feel refreshed, you're ready to crush the day. The difference in what you accomplish in that day is just night and day. And so we want to get you to a point where you have superhuman performance. You wake up every single day feeling motivated, thinking clearly, elevated mental alertness. You have that focus, that laser focus, so you produce quality work. And so there's a few things we can do to this. And essentially what we're ultimately doing is tapping into your health. Like ultimately you're healthier, you're going to perform better that way. Now, the thing is, we could switch your nutrition. And in fact, that's what we do. And we work on nutrition, fitness, other things like that. But the way I see it is, even if you eat the healthiest ever, you work out daily, if you get poor sleep, it doesn't matter how healthy you eat, how much you work out, you're not going to feel good. You're not going to perform at your top level. And so the best thing you can do is optimize your sleep and your circadian rhythm. It deals a lot with your hormone production and how you feel. And so what we say to do this is, ultimately, there's so many things we could go into, but the two most potent and powerful hacks are, go to bed before 10 p.m. because 10 p.m. to 2 a.m., those are the golden hours for sleep. And so the way I explain this is like, have you ever gone to bed at 2 a.m., 3 a.m.? Even if you got 8 hours of sleep, have you ever felt good the next day? The answer is no. And that's because the hours you sleep are not created equal. And so by simply going to bed before 10 p.m., you're just going to get so much better sleep. Second part to that is go to bed at the same time every single day or within 30 minutes of each other. Exception is one day out of the week. You can break that if you want. But yeah, ultimately, those are the two key factors. And I know a lot of people hearing this will go, oh, I have insomnia. I can't get good sleep because of X, Y, and Z. Two things I want to address here. How is holding that belief that you have insomnia helping you live a better life? Is it enabling you to overcome the issue of poor sleep so that you perform better? Or is it enabling you to succumb to mediocrity where you don't feel good, you perform terrible, then later feel bad about yourself? So even if it is true and you do have insomnia, how is holding that belief serving you? It's not. So choose to let it go. Again, this is what we were just talking about with the victim versus ownership. Second part to that is, I used to be like you, think I have insomnia. Oh, I can't sleep. I'd get in bed at 10:30, see the clock at 11, 12, 1, 2, start counting down the hours. I'd get it if I were to fall asleep in this exact moment. So I get it. And this is why I'm speaking from experience and saying that I didn't have insomnia. I had poor sleep habits. And so ultimately, I'd say 90 to 95% of the people who believe they have insomnia don't. They just have poor sleep habits and they don't know any better. And that's, again, for speaking from my experience and my clients' experiences time and time again, I hear this. That would probably be the biggest
tip. That's huge. And hearing you, what do we hear? We hear this energy. So I know that that part of it is, what do we have to do to help people keep that high energy? Now, sleep is part of it, of course. Is there anything else as part of that that helps you keep that high energy, that helps you to perform better?
Yeah, when we're speaking strictly through energy, there's one other thing you could do. So basically, your body can use two sources of fuel, I guess technically three, but glycogen, which is carbs broken down and stored, which is what 99% of people on this planet use as their main source of fuel. The second would be fats, and this is actually what we've evolved to use for millions of years. And so I know people are probably thinking BS, so let me explain here. As you likely know, we adapt in order to survive. That's why if you get sandpaper and rubbed it on your hand would start bleeding. But in a few days, it would come back stronger and tougher in the form of a callus. It's also why you're able to tan. What's really happening is your skin's adapting to the stress of the sunlight and getting darker so that next time it won't be damaged as much. Same thing with gaining muscle. You're breaking down your muscle fibers, then they recover and adapt to the stress and get stronger so that next time they can handle the stress you apply. So if carbs or glycogen were meant to be our main source of fuel, then why can our bodies only hold 1,800 calories of that, but it can hold 66,000 calories of fats? Well, depending on if you're male or female. And so it's these reasons that lead me to believe that our body's main source of fuel is supposed to be fats. And the thing is, once you become fat adapted, you perform so much higher. You just do. And so the analogy I like using is, imagine you're camping and you have to build a fire that's lasts through the night to keep you warm. Yeah, you could grab a bunch of small twigs and build a roaring flame real quick, but then it's going to dwindle out. That's kind of what carbs or glycogen are for energy. You know, you eat carbs, you feel a burst of energy, which is really just sugar. And then a few hours later, the blood sugar spike happens, your insulin gets pushed through your bloodstream, and you crash, you get grumpy, you get angry. They literally made a term for it, angry or whatever people say it is. And then meanwhile, using fats for energy is like grabbing big logs and just building a stable fire that's going to last throughout the night. It's much more consistent and potent. And so once you become fat adapted and use fats for energy, you don't crash throughout your day. You have so much more energy. Like, I remember one time I was working for like 9 hours and then something just didn't feel right. I started to feel a little off. I couldn't quite put my finger on it. I was like, something just isn't right. And then I realized, I was like, I haven't eaten in like 9 or 10 hours today. I was like, but if I was using carbs for energy, my performance would have crashed 6 hours ago, 7 hours ago. I would have needed to stop, go eat, but I was just operating on a much higher place. And so that's ultimately what I recommend you can do through your nutrition to boost your energy levels is become fat adapted. Now, obviously, I shouldn't say obviously, most people don't know this, but there's also workouts you can do that can increase your mitochondria so you have more energy, deliver more oxygen to your brain so you think more clearly and so forth.
I love it. I love how everything is once again tying together. So I want to talk about, there are some people out there who maybe fall into procrastination from time to time. And I know that you help people with that. So do you have some ideas on that for people?
Yeah. So again, a few things are going to be said. It's kind of touching up to our whole thing we're talking about with mind linking earlier. Literally, you will kill procrastination if you form the one habit of keeping your promises to yourself. You really will. But in order to get to that point, you often need more of a perspective change. And so one of the things I like telling our clients is, I want you to look back at any area of life that you've excelled in, whether it was school, sports team, your career, whatever it may be. I'm willing to bet that in those moments, you had times where you felt unmotivated, but you powered through. Why? Because you were committed to the result or the outcome that you wanted. And so what I always say is, like, look back at the times that you've failed. You didn't achieve that result you wanted. You let your emotions dictate your actions. And I will bet with 100% confidence that it was because you didn't operate from commitment, which is why you let your emotions dictate your actions. So the first step to this is getting awareness that every time you've succeeded in life, you were committed. You operated at a different level. And to do this in the future, to kill procrastination, you have to become committed to the goals and outcomes you want. Now, in order for this to truly happen, there tends to be need to be more of a perspective change, and you have to kind of get them questions to show consequences of what's going to happen in their life if they don't change. Like, how are you, if you're already feeling bad right now because you procrastinate, how are you going to feel in 2 years from now? What is that going to do for the quality of life for you and your family, your ability to provide for your family? And so Like, is that the father you want to be? Is that the role model you want to be for your children, where you break your promises to yourself, you underachieve, and show them that poverty is the way of life? And so by asking them these questions, it tends to get them to be more inspired from a deeper place as well.
Yeah, we call that like coming back to the why,
Yeah,
to reconnect them to why they're doing what they're doing. Because sometimes like life happens and we forget because we're human beings. So we have to continually reconnect to that. Adam, I love all of your suggestions for people. I'm a huge fan of giving our listeners ideas or actions that they can take, that they can walk away with and use in their life. So I'm so happy that you've been able to do that. If people want to learn more from you, if they want to connect with you, how can they find you?
Yeah, two ways. Basically, if you're interested in working with me or my team, and what you can do is go to superhumanceo.com. You'll see some of our case studies. You can book your call to speak with me or my team. The second way is just follow me on Instagram. You can send me a message. My Instagram is Adam Lucero, LUCERO, then the number one. So Adam Lucero one.
Perfect. Well, that's nice and easy. And listeners, you know, I'm going to throw those in the show notes for you to make your life even easier. So it's time already, Adam. Can you believe this? It's time for your final parting words of wisdom. Now, you've already given us a lot. We've already dropped a lot of wisdom here. What is that one final thought that you want to make sure that everyone walks away with?
You create your habits, then your habits create your life.
Oh, that's good. Oh, that's going on the quote. That's going on the quote for sure, Adam. Wow. It's okay. So thank you. Thank you for your time today, your energy, your story. Listeners, thank you for being here. If you really were inspired by Adam and his story and his tips, share the show out. Leave us a review. Let us know. Let others know. We appreciate so much when you do that, and we look forward to seeing you next week. We'll be right back.